Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where we'll pick up. We did cover last week the phrase Paul used when he said face to face, where he's talking about the revelation, the completed revelation. And once they received the completed revelation in Corinth, they would not have to exercise those partial gifts anymore. And Paul says in verse 11, just to go back there, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So Paul is talking about maturity, not just we know now the thing that matures us, that brings us to maturity is the completed revelation. It's being able to understand God's complete purpose. They didn't know that then, so they can only speak partial knowledge. They can only speak with partial understanding, what we call it, in a childlike state. And he says, but when that is perfect is come, he said, that which is in part shall be done away. And then in verse 12, he says, then shall I know even as also I am known. And one of the things that when Paul gets saved on Damascus Road, he has zero knowledge about the revelation. And he tells them that he will come to visions and revelations. But you know who does know his end? God. When the Lord appears to Ananias in a vision, he says, go to Saul, for he prayeth. And he says, what? And he says, go ahead. He is my chosen vessel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Right there, he was a child in knowledge. As the Lord increases his revelation, he becomes more and more mature. The Lord knows him, but the more he receives, the more he what?
Knows the Lord.
The more he knows the Lord. So every revelation
gives
him greater understanding, greater knowledge. And the more he received revelation, the more he could prophesy or tell forth God's word. So he writes, every time he writes, he's adding to knowledge. And he's adding to the believer's ability to be mature, to come to the same understanding that he has. Right? That's why, you know, where he'll say something to Timothy like this. He says, you, or thou, has fully known my... The first thing he says is what? My doctrine. Look at 1 Timothy. Chapter... 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says in chapter 3, verse 10, when he's talking to Timothy, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what in persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But when he's writing to Timothy, he reminds him, he says, you know me. And in Philippians, he can say this, that as a son with the father, he has followed me in the gospel. Timothy was a boy when he started, wasn't he? A young man. And as he goes on, guess what he's doing? He's becoming more and more mature also with everything that Paul gives him. When he gets to 2 Timothy, Paul is aged, and he can tell Timothy in 2 Timothy that you have somewhat known my purpose. You know a little bit about my manner of life. You know a little bit about my doctrine.
He's got him fully.
He says what? You fully. What is that? Another word, a synonym for that.
Complete.
Complete. Starts with an M.
Manifold.
Mature.
Mature, yes. That too. So, guess what? And we'll go back to Corinthians. And look what he tells him. Look what he says to him in chapter 4. Flip back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says in verse 11, he can call Timothy, he can say this. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. He gives him some things to flee. But what I wanted is he can say, you know what? You're a man of God now. After all the experience that he has, he says, now, O man of God, well, that's a mature man. You know, the old saying, you can't send a boy to do a man's job. He could never send Timothy to Ephesus
before his time
without being a mature. He could never send Titus to Crete without being mature. Not only in doctrine, but in his faith, in his faithfulness. So you don't play down the word as far as being familiar with it. Because the more you're familiar with it, as we learned last week, it changes you from glory to glory. It matures you over time. And he says, well, I can't remember any of that. Sure you can. You just don't know it yet. Or you're like, well, I got such a long way to go. That's okay. Keep looking that way. But if you turn around and look back, you'll say, wow, I'm a long way down the road. Progress. So Paul says, back to Corinthians, he says, but then I shall know, even as I am also known. And the Lord knew that. He was his chosen vessel. He knew what Paul's aim, what Paul's beginning and ending was. And Romans 8, for all believers, the end is to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. That's mature. That's maturity. That's the end. That's his ultimate end, is for us to be conformed to the image of his son and to know
the fellowship, his
suffering. And to be conformed to the image. That's all part of it. To know him and his purpose as he knows us and his purpose for us. How many believers do you think know that?
Very few.
Less than about a tenth of 1%.
That's really low.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that low. But, and I don't know if I said that right, is to know God and know his purpose for you, because he knows his purpose for you. When a person gets saved, all they think is, I'm going to heaven.
I'm not going to I'm not going to hell.
Or I'm not going to hell.
Right.
But they have very little knowledge about where they're going. Abraham, God appears to Abraham. He says, I want you to leave. Okay. And the scripture says he went out not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. Guess who knew? As Abraham increased in faith, guess what he began to realize? I know where I'm going. You know what the scripture called? He says Abraham was called the friend of God. That's because, not because they were chum. Say it again. Were buddies. Because they God exchanged information with him. That's, remember when he went to destroy Sodom? And he says, shall I hide the thing from my friend, from Abram, my friend? Shall I hide this thing from my friend? Remember last week he says, a friend, a servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But Jesus told his disciples, he says, but I call you friends because I'm disclosing some information to you that nobody else knows. And that information will grow them up. Why speakest thou to them in parables?
It's not for them to know, but unto you.
Is the mysteries of the kingdom. To you. The inside circle. For the knowledge. You know what? How did he reveal it to them? Face to face. Face to face. That's how. Now we have it face to face. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith, hope, and charity. He says, now abideth. When all those gifts would peter out, he says, this is the mainstay. Faith, hope, and charity. And even above all those is charity. That's not talked about much, is it? What's the greatest gifts? And they'll go through everything and they'll never mention the greatest quality for believers, greatest qualities for believers. They'll never say faith, hope, and charity. That won't be on the list. I don't think so.
No. But to me, that's especially the charity part is the one that'll bring you back down to humility if you've gotten a little bit high for your britches. You know, you can say, oh man, I know this word and I've done this and I've done that. Yes, but how far along are you on the charity part?
Right.
No, not nearly far along.
Not at all. It's and you know what? It's some of those things that I always, when you're in situations and you always see the old man creeping up beside me. I'm saying that anthropomorphism for you as I speak as a man that you can understand that he's not creeping up behind me. He indwells in us, but he'll may say things like, say this. And there's no other motive except pride for you to say that or to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's, when you think that way, that's not charitable. Paul, you know what Romans, Paul said, he says all things should be done with charity. Love seeketh no ill toward his neighbor. Those verses in Romans. Every one of his epistles, the main thing he emphasizes is charity and edification. That's all they are, all of them. It's just jammed in there. When you start looking at those things, you'll say, he's got two things in mind. Charity, edification. Edification, charity. Understanding, charity. Charity, understanding. You can switch it up, mix it around. Watch this. Chapter 14. He says, the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity. Follow after charity. That means make that your pursuit. You know, it's, I think he said in Romans, follow after the things that make for peace, wherewith we may edify one another. Well, right here he says, follow after charity. Wouldn't charity want to edify one another? Build one another up? He says, follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Why should we desire the prophecy? Prophesy, Paul. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now he's getting ready to show the Corinthians in chapter 14 how much better it is to edify than to speak in tongues. You know, the two of the longest books that Paul writes is what?
Romans.
Romans and 1 Corinthians. 16 chapters in Romans, 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians. You know what's the definitely a common denomination in Romans is what?
Edification.
And in Corinthians, what would you say, what would be the theme in Corinthians if you had to pick a word, one word to for the theme in Corinthians?
Charity.
Charity? Charity. Sure. You know what? Matter of fact, he uses the word charity in Corinthians more than any other book. And more than any other writer. And one other word he uses in Corinthians more than any other book. I'll give you a guess. In its various forms, he uses this word. Prophecy. Prophesying, prophecy, prophets. Which really is what?
Edifying.
Sure. By proclamation. Teaching. For them to... The common denominator is always there. So watch these verses. We go through... We're just going to read a couple of verses and then go back and pick some out. Or we're going to read through then come back. And think of this. Think of edification in mind. Now he's showing them that tongues, though they have the gift, is not as important as edification. Tongues are not as important as edification. 14, he says, follow after charity. And these, notice that these verses, they'll all be negative towards tongues, positive towards edification. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Positive towards tongues or negative? Positive towards prophecy or negative? Positive. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Positive towards tongues or negative? Positive towards prophecy or negative? Positive. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Positive or negative?
Positive.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. What's his theme? And we just read how many verses? Five. What's his theme?
Edification.
Over what?
Tongues.
Look at six. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? He says, if I'm speaking in a different tongue, what good is it if I'm not speaking to you by what? Revelation. He says, my goal is what? Edification. Not what you value is the tongues. He says, I'm after building you up. Seven, he says, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? He said, you can speak in any tongue you want to, but if I don't understand it, what good is it? You could be saying a lot of good stuff, but if I don't understand it, it's no good to me. He says, for, he's further explaining this, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare to the battle?
Playing revelry or should playing taps?
It could be a lullaby. Maybe I'm supposed to go to sleep, not go to war.
Yeah.
He says, so likewise, you know what? I just thought of a verse. Hold your hand there. Look at Hosea chapter 2. There's that aerial. There's my jumping around again. Hosea?
Chapter 2?
Yes. You know what? I'm wrong. Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Just a principle. I know this is Old Testament, but there's a verse here that I'll bring out something on this verse. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. By the way, who is Habakkuk anyway? He's a prophet. Who's doing what?
Prophesying.
For what?
Edification.
Okay. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You say, what is that? So what? But the Lord is writing to Habakkuk. He's telling those people how they can be delivered. He's getting ready to send some punishment to them. And he's telling them, he says, now, it's coming. He said, but I want you to be prepared, and I'm going to give you an answer. He says to Habakkuk, he says, write the vision. In other words, he says, so when they read it, they will understand what to do. Because it's coming. And it will not tarry. Though it tarry, he says, wait for it. In other words, he prophesied that it's coming. He says, write it down and tell them it's coming. So when they read it, they'll know it's coming. Even though it tarries, it's coming. And when he reads it, he can have faith in what I'm doing. He will understand what I'm doing. It won't be a shock to him. And the just shall live by his faith. Literally live. You said, why did you say it? Why did we go there? Because, back to 1 Corinthians, because he says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If you don't know what God is saying, how can you equip yourself to go any further? So if they're speaking in tongues, how is that helping the Corinthians go any further? It's not. That's why Paul says it. That's why he says, if it gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for the battle? Verse 9. So likewise, ye, just like the trumpet, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. All these things are it's weaning them off of their fixation with tongues. You think about today? We don't do it like they do it. We'll speak in tongues. When I say we, when you see it happening, it's a
jargon.
10-minute snippet, 10-minute, 10-second snippet, 5-second snippet. They don't go longer than that. Have you ever been in a church where you saw that in progress,
mm-hmm.
process,
yeah.
progress? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you say blah blah.
Basically, it's just the same thing, just over and over.
It's right, the same. If you have any, if you pick up the syllables, it's all the same thing.
It's all emotional.
It's all
up close was when my cousins came and they did that, and they were just tears were running out of their eyes as they did this repetitious noise. You know, and of course there was nobody understood and nobody meant. They were all excited. They were very moved.
And the real tongue speaker brought what?
Edification.
Because the voice was with signification, it was with distinction. Hey, we understand this man.
Not an uncertain sound.
Whatever, just, and that is, you can't tell people now that that's nothing.
Well, you can, but it probably won't be received.
It won't be received. Not readily.
Yeah.
Because they're not after edification. And the Lord, we'll get down to chapter 14 and we'll find out. The Lord says, I've done all I can do. He says, if any man be ignorant, and yet he starts off, he says, I would not have you, brethren, to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And he goes through, and you know what? He spends, this is the longest chapter, second longest chapter in this book. And he is 40 verses he spends, and they're all negative towards the tongues, positive towards edification. And when he finally gets to the end, look at what he says at the end. 1440. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Look at verse 38. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Everything that's done in a local assembly should always be done decently and in order, with edification as the chief goal. And the only thing that will keep you on track is to have a charitable approach when you come together. Because what that does, it takes you out of the way and you are focused solely on God's purpose, which is for edification. If you want to show off, you know what? Sure. And you know what I see in a lot of places is you see the carnival.
The display, you see that.
And one thing about knowing this is not only do I can detect it in me, but you can see it somewhere. You can see it on the outside a mile away. Can you? Mm-hmm. When you know what? Paul said this in Corinthians. He says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So, and I'm just saying this in the way, because we understand this. When I go in and sit down, my antenna are up.
They can't even see your antenna.
And they don't know me. But what puts me on such a heightened alert is the fact that when he says spiritual, that just means that I'm familiar with his word.
You know what to look for.
I know what to look for. So when he says, I judge or I discern all things, and you do too. When you have the information, you know what to look for.
We have the truth detector.
Right. And if you're familiar with it, all you have to do is sit there and you can see, you know what? I see it. You know, I watch Family Feud. and Steve Harvey, he'll say, I see you, Blake. I see you. When, you know, if they do something and it's worthy of note. So, you can see that something, maybe a fleshly act in the assembly. And you say, I see you. I see you coming. But the point is being that very passage. Look back at chapter 2. I'm sorry. Look at chapter 2. He starts off. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but carnal, right? That was the next verse. He says, verse 2:9, he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know what? Let me just stop there for a minute, because he said, we talked about this before. He says, for them that love him. I thought all believers love the Lord. He says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What is when he says the deep things?
It's knowing this.
He says, it's not something like Paul talks about the mystery. Most people think,
well,
right. And it's something that it's not a mystery anymore. Just like the deep things aren't the deep things where it's some like the deep secrets where you'll never get this. He says, look, he said this, but God will reveal them. God might reveal them. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's how you see the pride in action. You say, you know what? I was talking to the, this was a different church, I was talking to them 2 weeks ago, and when he was like, come on up here. And I was telling him, I says, you know, I look at you guys, and I says, and I know every one of us have problems that you're struggling with, and maybe multiple problems. And they were kind of looking like, and then I do what we do. You know how I know that? Because I have problems and multiple problems. So you know what? You have to relax, because he says here, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Don't tell me you don't have any problems, because I'm a man. And women, you can't tell another person that you don't have any problems, because we all know. He says, you know what, Jesus, they needed not to testify of him of man, because he knew what was in man. You're talking about the Lord. The same thing. He said, we have the Spirit, well, we know that. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Every believer has the Spirit. Every believer has the Spirit that he might know the things that are freely given to him of God. Why doesn't he, though? He doesn't study the Word. He doesn't dig. He's lazy. He's
in the world
too much. He's, and this is what Paul said. He's the next chapter. He tells him why you don't have it. You're what?
Carnal.
You're carnal.
Five.
Now this goes back to, yes, sir.
Well, just that verse 9 where you were saying, as it is written, have prepared for them that love him.
Yes.
How can you love who you don't know?
Exactly. See, I went past that because I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that. But most believers, they'll say, I love him. I love him.
It's emotional.
It's your man.
It's eros and not agape, phileo.
It's not the, you know what? It's, Paul said in Ephesians, he said this, grace be on them that love our Lord. I'm not going to go there. He says, in sincerity. I thought, whoa. It's like, in sincerity? Wait a minute now. We're talking about believers, right?
Every Christian says
everyone that's like the lady, and she's on the phone, like, oh, I love the Lord. He can do anything but fail. Yes, girl. And I'm thinking,
get her in a hard spot, see what happens.
Just three. Give me three verses about his love. Just give me three about his love. Could you get that? Can you give me three? You can use the same book if you want. Just give me three.
God so loving.
And you know what? That's not a lot, is it?
No.
But he says, notice, now we have received not the spirit, little s, of the world, but the spirit, little s, which is of God. that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, he gives a little S because once our spirit is regenerated, that's the new man that indwells us, the inner man, we call it. So the Holy Spirit works with your inner man, comparing spiritual things, that's what he gets, the word, with spiritual, which is your new man. And think of the new man starts off as a baby. What grows him?
Food.
What kind of food?
Spiritual food at the proper time.
Spiritual food at the proper time. Okay.
He was given an example about a man who, you know, he was saved and he was a former alcoholic and he had to walk by the liquor store all the time to pick up his mail. And he's like, yeah, he goes, I got the little black dog on this side, the little white dog on this side. And the guy, somebody was asking him, well, which dog wins? He goes, the one I feed the most. And so if you're always feeding the spirit side and not the fleshly side, then
guess who gets the victory?
Yeah, and he was saying something like, you know, believers need to feed on the word every day. And so many of them, they just go to church like twice a year. You know, you're starving. He said, how do you expect to grow if you're not eating?
Now, that's a good human analogy, but it's true.
Sure.
And Paul said this, it has to be nourished up in the words of faith and doctrine, sound doctrine.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't live off junk food.
Yep.
It tastes good. Get you high. It'll get you high for a minute. But you come crashing down.
Chinese food.
You eat a ton of it and it's never filling. 30 minutes later, you're like,
hungry again.
Nothing sticks. But he says that's what the Spirit does, is he takes the word and he shows you the things that are freely given to you that you might grow thereby. I went over there because of the verse in verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Doctrine. Doctrine. The whole focus is the doctrine. Okay, verse 1 Corinthians, back to 14, and let's just go a couple of verses and then we'll stop. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. There's no communication there. There's no understanding. Neither one of us know what the other wants. So you can't possibly fulfill a purpose when there's no understanding there. By the way, that goes back to tongues in Babel, which will come up next week. But if you don't understand each other, it's not much you can do. They were building together, weren't they? And the Lord came down, he says, I need to confound their language. And they left off, I think the scripture, and they left off building.
What?
That's before, don't they? Bring me that. Bring me this. All of a sudden, he comes down and messes with those tongues.
That's how they came up with sign language.
Sign language. Verse 12. Even so, ye. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He says, if you do this thing, he says, the bottom line is whatever you do, it should be with understanding. And the very purpose of that is that you might take that gift and use it for edification. If it's not edifying, he says, stop it. Mm-hmm. 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. He says, you can do that. He says, you might be giving thanks. And there, a person at that time, I'm not talking about people today who say they're speaking in tongues. At that time, they could speak in tongues and knew that it was a gift and knew that they were given a message, but it didn't bother, it didn't profit anybody else. Mm-hmm. So you might say, you know what, the Lord is using me. But is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only good. It's only good if it's profitable for the reason it was used for. And the very fact that we'll find out next week, they were speaking in tongues in the local assembly, which was worthless. And that's why he's saying that. He said, look back at verse.
Is the whole point of tongues is to reach out to people in other languages with that same message, right?
Yes. Close. You know what? Last couple of weeks ago, I said that, and we'll stop in a minute. Where we're talking about, I said most, and this is just my estimation of it, where when the closer look at tongues, well, we'll talk about that next week. But he says in verse 4, he says, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. In the next verse, he says, except he interpret that the church may see edification. Verse 12, he says, even so, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others. Is it good towards tongues or negative? Is it good towards edification? He says, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. You know what that's? They say, well, I'm talking to God. I'm praising God.
How do you know you're praising God? You may be cursing.
I'm blessing God.
You may be cursing.
Isn't that what they say when they're speaking? I'm talking to God. Well, Paul says, okay, just say.
How do you know you're talking to God when you don't even know what you're saying? Yeah.
Look back at verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And if you might be, they might, there, they,
yeah, there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now here we know it's out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in other words, so what? He says, you might be doing that and saying that you're giving God thanks, and that might be true. But it's no good for the other people.
Not edifying anybody.
You're not edifying anybody. You know what? They'll probably say, why don't they sit down? He says, you might give God thanks. He says, but in 10,000 words, I'd rather speak five that'll help you than 10,000 that I'm praising God for. Which brings out a very interesting point, is this. Most people, they talk about prayer.
I'm a flower of prayers.
What God has to say to you is far more important than what you have to say to God. Because you won't change His purpose. He needs to get you on His purpose. And I'm not saying don't pray. He said you can pray for anything you want until your understanding catches up with your prayers. He says, in the meantime, you have at it. He says, and the peace of God
will guard your heart.
Now, that's way down the line, though. In Romans, so next week we'll pick up the latter part of those verses and find out the conclusion for the tongues.